Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to be turning with me in your Bible to Psalm 22, Psalm chapter 22, I have a very serious message for us this morning. I have a very vital, critical message. To put it frankly, this is the issue of eternal life and eternal death. What a person believes on this determines that. What God reveals to a sinner concerning this issue determines eternal life or eternal death for that sinner. So this is a very critical subject, a very critical issue. And what we have here in Psalm 22, the first three verses of this chapter, is something that our eyes are honestly not worthy to even look on. It's amazing to me that our Lord recorded this holy moment in His Word. This is a moment between God, a moment between God the Father and God the Son. This is a moment between the throne and the cross. It involves no one else, only the triune God. And I cannot imagine that anyone who knows anything about history, anyone who's old enough to understand anything about history, would not know about the cross. Most everyone has heard of and been told some facts concerning the cross. The cross is the issue. The cross is the message of the gospel. When we learn the truth of God's word and the message of the gospel, we learn the cross. That's what we hear, is the cross. It's the centerpiece of salvation. It's the centerpiece of all eternity. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. The preaching of the message of the cross. But here's the critical issue. The preaching of the cross is not just preaching that it happened. The preaching of the cross is not only preaching that the cross took place. Preaching the cross is preaching what happened on the cross. Not just that it happened, but what exactly happened on the cross. What happened on the cross is the message of the gospel. That is the message. There is only one gospel message. The Apostle Paul told the Galatians, there is not another. There is only one. Anything other than exactly what happened on the cross is not the gospel. People bring up religious matters and they talk about religious things, thinking that they are talking about the gospel. The gospel is a singular thing. And anything other than this critical issue of exactly what happened on the cross is not the gospel. Now, our Lord asked His Father a question. From the cross, He asked His Father a question in this defining moment of our eternal lives. He asked God His Father a question, and then He answered the question. He knew the answer. He asked, and then He answered. And what He tells us right here will forever be the critical issue of the gospel. Now, Psalm 22, verse 1, this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking from the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Now that was his question. That was his question to God his Father. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? That is the subject and the title of this message. Why was Christ forsaken? That's the issue. That's the issue. Everybody knows that he was. Everybody knows about the cross. Here's the question. Here's the defining question. Why was he forsaken? Why? Why? Preaching and understanding and believing why. That's preaching the gospel. That's understanding the gospel. That is believing the gospel. Why? Why was he forsaken? Why did God forsake Christ? Well, our Lord immediately gives us the answer in verse 3. He said, thou art holy. That's why. He said, but thou art holy. Now, if we miss this, we will miss salvation. If we miss this, we will leave this earth missing salvation. We will miss the gospel. We will miss Christ. We will be religious all through this life, and if we miss this critical issue of why was Christ forsaken, we will leave this earth missing Christ. On the cross, the Lord asked that great question, why hast thou forsaken me? On the cross, he answered the question by saying, thou art holy. Thou art holy. If we want to know the truth of the gospel, I mean the truth, we're going to have to understand something about what it means that God is holy. If we want to understand the truth of the gospel, we're going to have to find out what holy means. Holy. Our Savior said, the reason you're doing this, the reason you're forsaking me is because you're holy. You're holy. Now, what does that mean? We're going to turn to quite a few scriptures here. If you want to look with me at Psalm 145, Psalm 145 verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Holy means he must do right in all of his works. In all of his ways, he must do what's right. He has to do what's right. He has to. Holy means clean. It means pure. It means just. Who is going to stand in that holy hill? Only he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Only he who's done right. Clean hands, pure heart, not lifted up his soul unto vanity. If God is holy, it means he can only do what's right. That's what it means. Now, what is right? What determines whether something is right or wrong? What determines that? How do we know whether something is right or wrong? Well, over in Romans chapter 7, verse 12 says, wherefore the law is holy. The law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The law that God gave in his word is holy. The law is holy. God is holy, and the law is holy. Did you know that God is the law? God is the law. God must do the law. God can only do the law because He is the law. He is the law. When God gave Moses the law, He wrote out all of these demands. What He was saying is, this is who I am. This is what I am. This perfection I demand is what I am. How good and how right does a person have to be to stand in the presence of God? The answer is, as good as God. He has to be as good as God. No sin can dwell in His presence. No sin, no error can stand there. He has to be as good as God. Not just as good as He can be on this earth, He has to be as good as God. How good and right is God? Well, we open His law, and it tells us how good and how right He is. He said, I did not come to put away the law. I came to fulfill it. Our Lord in His life, just living, He fulfilled the law because He is the law. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. I declare the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures. That's important to know. He died according to the Scriptures. Now, do you know what He's telling us right there? Why? He's telling us why. Why did Christ die? Why was Christ forsaken? The end of verse 3 says, He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures is He speaking of right here? Which Scriptures is He talking about? The only Scriptures they had at that time. The law. The Old Testament law and the prophets. And He's saying, this is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to His holy law. God the Father forsook Christ according to His holy law. It was by the law, in agreement with the law. Our Lord asked the question as He hung there suffering the punishment and the wrath. He said, Why hast thou forsaken me? Suffering the wrath of God, His Father, His own Father. And He said, Why hast thou forsaken me? And then He immediately acknowledged the answer. He said, It's because you must do right. You must do right. You're holy. You must judge according to what you have written in your law. Now, what did the holy God write in His law? This is critical. What did the holy God write in His law? Well, in Exodus 23, back in Exodus chapter 20, He gave the Ten Commandments, and He was giving commandment after commandment, all of these laws. And in Exodus 23, verse 7, He said, Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. Do not kill an innocent man. That's what He put in His law. Do not kill an innocent man. He said, I will not have it. This is my law. This is my commandment. That's wickedness in my eyes. Do not kill an innocent man. And he went on to say, "For I will not justify the wicked." I won't do it. That's wickedness. If you shed innocent blood, that's wickedness in my eyes. That's sin against me. In Deuteronomy 27, verse 25, it says, "Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person." And all the people shall say, "Amen." The holy God said in his holy law, whoever kills an innocent person is cursed. Cannot do it. We could look at scripture after scripture after scripture, but let me just give you one more. This is Proverbs chapter 6. Our God said in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." God said he hates it. He said, "I will not have it. I hate it." Now, if that's the case, then let me ask us this question. Why was Christ forsaken? If that is the case, why was Christ forsaken and slain? Why was Christ killed? Here's the answer. It's because he was made to be guilty. He was guilty. He was guilty. When we hear the truth told that he paid our debt, he paid our debt. It's called redemption. Paying the price in full. When we hear that, the flesh wrongly gets the idea in our mind. This is how we view that this perfect man paid our debt for us. This is how we view it. We see ourselves as sinners, which we are, who got ourselves into a debt we could not pay. Couldn't pay it. Bankrupt, we call it. Just could not pay it. No money to give. So the great banker, who, you know, is God in our simple minds, he demanded that debt. He said, "Time is up. No more time. You have to pay or suffer the punishment." So Christ, being the rich inheritor of all things and so kind, all of his abundance, in his heart and compassion, he asked the question to the great banker, "How much do they owe? How much do they owe?" And the price was set, and he said, "I'll pay it." And he paid off their debt in full. And the great banker was happy. And now he says to us, "Debtors, you're free to go." That's how we naturally view the redemption of Christ for sinners. Now, if that's the case, then let's ask this question. Why was Christ made to suffer punishment and wrath, and why was he killed? Why was he killed? Paying off someone else's debt is an honorable thing. That is an honorable thing. That is in perfect agreement with God's law. He said, "Give," in the law. He said, "Help your neighbor." He said, "Love your neighbor." Why would he suffer vengeance when honor is due? Why? Why would God kill an innocent man? And if God killed an innocent man, and in the process, Christ the innocent man made us innocent, what's to stop God from killing us? God kills innocent men. If we're made to be innocent, where is our comfort and our peace and our rest? God kills innocent men. To believe that is to believe that God is not holy. That's what it is. It's to believe he is unjust. unjust. He killed an innocent man. That's unjust. That is unjust. But here's the truth of the matter. God is holy. He is holy. Over in Acts chapter 8, verse 32 says, the place of the scripture which this Ethiopian eunuch read was this. He was reading Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That's prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Who stands in humiliation? It said in his humiliation. Who stands in humiliation? It's not the one who has money in his hand ready to pay. He's not standing in humiliation. It's the one who has nothing. The one who has been stripped of everything and stands there in complete and total debt. The one who is guilty. That's who stands in humiliation. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Made a curse for us. Now, why was Christ forsaken? Why was he forsaken? It's because God made him to be guilty. He made him to be guilty. Never did our Lord ever commit one sin. He was spotless. The spotless Lamb of God. He was our spotless substitute. That's the only substitute we could have who could accomplish this. He had to be spotless, pure and perfect. And that's the gospel in a word. Substitution. Total sin, total righteousness. Substitution. A complete changing of places. He never committed sin, not one time. But for our sake, from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, he became what brought the curse on his people. He made himself to be their curse. He took their curse off of them. And it's called sin. And he made himself to be that. He made himself to be what his people were. He did not just take the responsibility. He became. He became. The actual wounds and bruises and putrefying sores of sin. It's the only way God could forsake him. Because God is holy. It was the only way. God the Father looked at his own Son. He looked at his own Son in the moment that Christ made himself to, as Hebrews 7 says, become us. The moment Christ made himself to become us. Substitution is not a theory. It's a transaction. It's a real transaction. And God looked at Christ the moment he made himself to become us, and according to holiness, God the Father said, you must be forsaken. You must be forsaken. And then God, according to holiness and according to justice, poured out his wrath on his own Son. And he killed the guilty man. He said, I will by no means clear the guilty. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the solid rock of our hope. God then turned and looked at us. All those that he chose to give to his Son. All those that he chose to redeem through this transaction. He then looked at us. In all of the righteousness that Christ traded with us, all of the sinlessness, all of the perfection. And when Christ made Himself to be what we were from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, Christ made us to be what He was from the crown of His head to the sole of His foot. And at that very moment, God the Father looked at us, and according to holiness, He said, "You must go free. I have to let you go. I'm holy. I'm just. I'm right." He will by no means condemn the innocent. By no means. "I cannot punish you," He said. "I cannot kill you. I'm holy. I am holy. It would go against my holiness. It would go against everything that makes me just and right. Therefore, because of the beauty of holiness," holiness is a beautiful thing, "because of the beautiful holiness, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation at all. Romans 8 verse 33 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth?" It's Christ that died. Christ died. Christ took the place of His people, suffered their punishment, gave them His righteousness. And according to holiness, God is satisfied. He slayed the guilty and freed the innocent. And that is the gospel. That's the gospel. What we see and believe about what took place on the cross is the issue. That gives all the glory to Christ the Lamb. And that's what His people cry, "All glory be unto you." Until next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.